Great writing about California's natural world is compelling and concrete, encouraging us to be personally in touch with the elements of our environment. Earth, wind, fire, and water, timeless elements of California's natural world. Here now, the wind. Since the early 80s, giant wind farms have perched on breezy passes throughout California. Wind turbines are part of a green vision for sure, but their construction is not without environmental cost. Here's John Farnsworth of the Santa Clara University Environmental Studies Institute.
Over the past decade, an average of 67 golden eagles are killed every year by the wind turbines here on Altamont Pass. Imagine the mortality rate when we quadruple the amount of wind energy produced in this state.
Windborne creatures share the wind with us, raptors like the red-tailed hawk that Walter Van Tilburg Clark describes in his 1940 short story, Hook.
Throughout that summer and the cool, growthless weather of the winter, Hook was master of the sky and the hills of his range. His flight became a lovely and certain thing, so that he played with the treacherous currents of the air with a delicate ease surpassing that of the gulls. He could sail for hours searching the blanched grasses below him with telescopic eyes, gaining height against the wind.
Wind turbines may look like overgrown egg beaters, but here in California, they're just the latest version of an old technology.
Every family or group of families has its separate well and windmill, thus obviating the necessity of a general source of water supply.
Nanetta Eames was writing for the Overland Monthly in 1892. In Staging in the Mendocino Woods, she described the wind-gathering technology of the era.
One sees windmills painted in red, white, or blue, and still others so ancient and wind-tortured that their distinctive color can only be guessed. When the wind blows, and there is rarely a day here that it does not, these various windmills set up a medley of discordant creaks and groans, and whether heard singly or collectively, all are equally nerve-rending.
And of course, there's Raymond Chandler, who understood full well that the wind could always reach anyone, even those who live indoors.
There was a desert wind blowing that night. It was one of those hot, dry Santa Anas that come down through the mountain passes and curl your hair and make your nerves jump and your skin itch. On nights like that, every booze party ends in a fight. Meek little wives feel the edge of the carving knife and study their husbands' necks. Anything can happen. You can even get a full glass of beer at a cocktail lounge.
Not all writers saw the wind in sinister terms. Others found it a sublime force. One December day in 1874, John Muir was exploring a Sierra Valley in the middle of a fierce windstorm. He climbed to the top of a Douglas spruce and paused to listen to the symphony of the trees.
Even when the grand anthem had swelled to its highest pitch, I could distinctly hear the varying tones of individual trees. Spruce and fir and pine and leafless oak, and even the infinitely gentle rustle of the withered grasses at my feet. Each was expressing itself in its own way, manifesting a richness of variety to be found in no other forest I have yet seen.
Next time you see, and maybe hear, those giant wind turbines, remember the soaring red-tailed hawk Hook. Or think of John Muir and his Windwood Symphony. Examine your own experience of outdoor California to appreciate better what's at stake here. For the California Legacy Project at Santa Clara University, I'm Terry Beers. The Wind is a production of the California Legacy Project at Santa Clara University, californialegacy.org, and featured Kevin Hurl, Dan Maloney, and Jessica Teeter. Music and post-production by Bernhard Drax at Draxter.com.